The Workshop Downtown Podcast with
Ashley Ayala
and Kelly Bennett. This is a weekly podcast for people seeking to build a cool brand, business, lifestyle, and impact. Each week, we'll talk shop about the real behind the scenes of being a small business owner. We'll also talk to local change makers, interview people we adore, and just share about things that we dig. Hey guys, we are back. We're stoked to be recording new episodes for you. We've been hearing a lot of good feedback, which means a lot.
Great things.
So thank you for listening and tuning in. We are having a lot of fun doing this podcast, so it really means a lot that you guys are digging it too. And today, Ashley is going to really take over the mic with all of her amazing photo skills. Tips.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I personally have used your tips and they're really helping me. And I did a little photo shoot just today with pizza and my iPhone. And I was thinking about you. And it's just super helpful. So I'm excited to hear your more tips and all of your insights.
Yeah. So I'm going to share just a few little tips and things that...
Oh, and also too, shout out, Ashley is like a proper photographer.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Well, I guess I'm not, I don't consider myself a proper photographer, but when I was...
But you are.
But I went to school for photography, yes. Yeah, so when I was writing the outline for the workshop, I was like, oh, I do know a lot of stuff.
You do, and you're really good.
Thanks. And that workshop was fun because I brought props in. That was especially fun
that
for
was
me
good.
Too. My diffuser and, like a wood board background, and I wanted to bring in all the different cameras, but, you know, didn't want to get too out of hand, overwhelm people. But one thing, okay, so let's start with.
Yes.
So the photography tips that we talked about, a lot of it was just talking about our options, and one being iPhone photography versus DSLR photography, the range of DSLRs that you can buy from, like, your, you know, Canon Rebel, which is something that's very user-friendly and is pretty, you know, you could use most of the automatic functions and be able to work with it pretty well. Or something really, really fancy, like a, you know, Canon or Nikon or Sony model that is, like, can go full manual, and then you can get really into the nitty-gritty. So we kind of talked about those options, you know, what's better for content creation, you know,
right.
Just doing things on the fly.
A small business owner
who
needs to create content or a blogger or something like that who has their iPhone and maybe not a photographer. Like, I'm only speaking for myself that, like, I felt I liked your tips because it was something I could use with my iPhone.
And I tried to, make it so that it did cater to both because I know some people are like, oh, yeah, I have no interest in buying a DSLR. I just want to know about the iPhone stuff. So really we focused most of the workshop on lighting and composition, and mostly lighting because that's the, I feel like next to composition, it's the most important. And I, you know, any photographer will tell you that when you're doing photography, you're looking at light and you're recording light onto this, you know, digital tool that you have.
Yes. And so, what do you think would be your biggest lighting tip?
Okay, so for geographically, if you're in Las Vegas or in a place that's hot and has really harsh direct sunlight, the diffusion tip that I gave everyone, which was trying to diffuse light with either using a diffuser that you buy and hold over like a model, say if you're doing portrait or lifestyle, or if you're using what's called a hot light kit, so like a studio lighting setting where you've got a couple lights set up and you're getting really harsh light on like a piece of glass or something shiny, or you're shooting on like a mildly shiny surface and you want to kind of get rid of that, using a diffuser is helpful. We talked about a hack for a diffuser.
Yes, I love that tip.
Yeah, so making your own diffuser out of like a tea cloth and an embroidery hoop, or like a really thin white picture frame for like really small scale stuff if you're into shooting your lattes on your kitchen table
kind
of thing. Yeah, which I feel like, I mean, if you're between the ages of 20 and 40, you are into that.
There's a lot of latte photography going on.
Yeah, we are. Well, and just food, too. If you have, you know, something on a...
Yes.
On a pie, the glaze, or, you know...
So literally, I had you in my mind today about how I was doing the lighting. And something super helpful that I took from your tips was when we try to use the filters and we brighten a photo or we have contrast through the photo, what that really does to the lighting. I never honestly put two and two together that those affect the lighting so much. Mm-hmm. So can you talk more about that?
Yes.
I know that was super helpful.
So what Kelly's talking about is when you adjust contrast, a lot of people, I think too, in a lot of apps and maybe even too on the iPhone editing tools, one of the first things you can play with when you're editing is contrast. And so people automatically think like, oh, okay, my photo needs, you know, brighter, you know, whites, or it needs darker, you know, dark colors in this photo, or blacks. And so they will slide that slider bar one way or the other, and it really will blow out the white areas. So if there are light areas, it'll just make them super, super, super light.
Yes.
And then the darkness, it will saturate it so that it's really, really dark, but then it gets rid of all these beautiful mid-tones that you need. And so a lot of times, yeah, my hack for that was go to the exposure first, because if you've shot something in darker lighting and it looks, the whole photo looks a little bit dark, by upping the exposure a little bit, you're essentially making your camera or your phone, think that you are taking that photo in just a lighter setting, you know. So when you go back to actual camera settings, it's your aperture would have been opened wider, or your shutter speed would have been slower, so you got more light into the camera. But if it didn't do that, that's how you would edit it afterward.
Can you do that on Instagram? Or that would be more on, like, Photoshop?
Ooh, I don't know.
Or Lightroom?
Let's see. Definitely Photoshop and Lightroom, but let's see. On Instagram, if I put a photo up... and edit. I rarely edit. Let's see. So yeah, they have brightness. So brightness is probably, yeah, that's going to do similar to your exposure. Yeah. But it's almost doing what contrast does, where it's just kind of like, it ends up flattening your image and making your pixels really just strange. Yeah. Color fade, highlight shadows. And now too, now we're looking in Instagram editing tools, but highlights and shadows, being aware of those. And so one thing I told everyone was that a photo should always have true blacks, true whites, and then lots of midtones and colors in between. So sometimes when you know, really desaturate a photo, which is really trendy right now, so if that's intentional, then great. But something to be aware of is if you're unintentionally realizing like, oh, all my photos, there's no black in any of my photos, but maybe you're going for a really light and airy look,
right,
then that's good. But if you want something that looks a little more true to what the eye sees, we see true blacks and true whites and lots of midtones. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Sometimes people blow out the colors of photos on Vegination and then they tag Vegination. I'm like, whoa. That does not even look anything like it.
Well,
it's kind of weird.
In food photography especially, it's so important, you know, because people, I mean, stylistically, their photography, with the advent of social media, there's so many, and even content creators that are great at photography, they don't call themselves photographers, but there's just so much visual media out there that people want to set themselves apart, so they will come up with this series of actions, like we talked about, or filters, to make their photos all look consistent and beautiful with one another. But a lot of times, you know, it'll be a really extreme stylistic, you know, where there aren't, and I've noticed that a lot lately, there are no real dark tones, or, you know, and it almost looks like the shadows have all been brightened and it is kind of that light, whimsical, airy looking photography. So yeah, it's interesting.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, cause I love hearing from someone who actually is a photographer and has an eye for this, of like, what apps do you love to use to filter your photos? Cause I love how Sister House, it's so cohesive. And I always say like, that's my goal, to have such a cohesive aesthetic like you, like the lighting, the colors, it just all flows really, really well.
Thank you.
So what do you use, Ashley?
Well, so that's so funny, because I feel like since I had the baby, I do a combination of like flyers on the feed, or I'm like finding photographers that like, or well, not photographers, but brands that I can repost something of theirs that is in a similar, has already been edited. Because I don't like reposting other people's photos and editing them.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't know, you don't want to do that. But I like, so in the workshop, we looked over PicTapGo, which is created by a group of people that I've been following for a really long time that have gettotallyrad.com. They have Photoshop actions and now Lightroom actions, which are essentially like what filters were before we had filters on our phones.
Cool.
So you would buy, like you could do actions yourself in Photoshop when I was in school, or you could buy, like once you understood how to do it, it was kind of just like the unspoken rule. Like, okay, you don't buy actions until you know, okay. what those series of actions would do. But it was kind of like a hack. So you'd buy actions and then you could essentially just say, okay, I like this action that makes, you know, all the photos look super contrasty and dark and moody and, you know, and so you'd hit that. And now that's what we call, that's what filters are. So Get Totally Rad, or Rad Lab is their name. GetTotallyRad.com, that's where PicTapGo, that's those people who created that app. So it's essentially taking what they were doing with Photoshop and now Lightroom, but making an app for it. And then A Color Story, which is by A Beautiful Mess, that I blog. That one is really good. VSCO, VSCO, that one is also really good. And I believe all of these have, unless VSCO changed something recently, they all have free versions, so you can get so many of the filters for free, try them out, and then decide if you want to buy extra packs.
I love it. What was the tip, too, about Lightroom, that you could get a preset?
Oh, yeah. So those are the actions.
Okay, so those are actions.
Yeah,
okay.
The actions are presets. I think in Photoshop, they're called actions. I haven't used, like, I haven't used them in so long. I don't know what the exact, like,
verbiage is. What the kids are calling it
these days? Yeah, what the kids are calling it. But I think in Lightroom, and I could be totally wrong, but I think Lightroom, they're called presets. And in Photoshop, they're called actions. Okay. Or maybe in Photoshop now, they're called presets, too. I don't know.
But it's pretty cool.
But it's, yeah, it's essentially filters. So that's what a filter does on your iPhone when you use a filter. It's going through the series of actions or processes to,
got it,
like, apply, you know, saturation at, you know, 40%. And then it's taking, you know, your exposure and adding it 20%. And it's, so it's these series of actions that they're layering on top of your photo.
And what was the second part? You said lighting and then composition.
Composition. So composition is so important. And it was really fun because last workshop, we actually started going through some photos and looking at, like, people were like, oh, yes, here's the composition. Like, now that I know that,
I
can see
it. I've been looking for it, too.
Yeah. And it's in design as well. But, yeah, compositionally, when you take a photograph, you're imagining almost a grid, like a tic-tac-toe board over whatever you're looking at, and where the lines meet, so it's divided into thirds vertically and horizontally, where the lines would meet, those are your strongest focal points. So that's where you want your subject to be, your product to be, or whatever it is you're trying to hone in on and showcase in that photo. So we talked about that.
So you want the edge of whatever the subject is to be touching.
It doesn't
have
to be the edge. It could be like a person's eyes, because it's the strongest focal point of the face. It could be, you know, it's going to depend on shapes and the lighting as well. But generally, compositionally, you want to divide your, you know, what you're looking at into thirds vertically and horizontally. And then wherever those points would meet, like I had everybody, I said, you know, if you really want to use this tool, just draw it, because that makes it a lot easier. Like, draw it in your notebook, in your notes, make a tic-tac-toe board, circle where those points meet, and now start imagining it. And then once you do it a couple times, now it's, like, stuck in your brain, and you've trained yourself to look for this composition when you're photographing things. But that is something that is super, super helpful.
I love that.
And it's just a really easy something to keep in mind when you're doing photos.
And those two things could really help boost up your photography.
Absolutely. Take them to the next level. Because, too, and I told everyone when we first started, I said, think about when you're on OfferUp and you're scrolling through a photo, or you're on Craigslist and you're like, what the heck is this blurry thing? Or when you're, especially it happens here too, but especially when I've traveled, I've looked at menus and yes. like the photos and you're like, this food doesn't look appetizing, you know, it yes. just, there's no depth to it, or it's a grainy, gross, not well-lit photo. Yeah. Photography is everything. We're very visual people, so we have to resonate with what we see.
And it's such a powerful tool for storytelling.
Absolutely.
So to really get people's eyes on it, and having a good photo mm-hmm. will get that engagement and get that attention. And absolutely. That's really what we're all striving for, attention. Mm-hmm. You know, that people will engage with your content and your story and what you're telling people. So I love those tips. I really had you in my head today.
That's awesome.
When I was taking
photos
of pizza.
That's such good feedback. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Cool. So that wraps up our photo tips
and hacks
and how to be awesome at photography with Ashley. Hope you use them. Take a photo. Tag the workshop downtown. We'd love to see it. Give feedback. And we're excited to see what you guys do with this information.
Yeah. We'll see you guys.
Takes lots of photos.
Yeah.